Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good morning, friends. It's the 4th of January, 2019. Great to be with you again, and I hope you're ready for a great day. I want to talk to you today as we get closer and closer to the March for Life, which is only 2 weeks from today, and many other activities from coast to coast commemorating the tragic anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. I want to start looking with you a little more closely at that decision. I'm just going to give you a few broad stroke thoughts today. But before I even go into that, let me follow up on something I was talking about yesterday, and that is the bill that was passed in the House of Representatives last night by a vote of the Democrat-controlled House in order to appropriate money to get some of the money flowing again in the government during this partial shutdown. But the fact of the matter is, instead of really trying to resolve the issues that the country is facing, the Democrats put funding of abortion back into this bill. Now, even though the House passed it, it's not going to get past the Senate. And even if it did, if it got to the president's desk, he already indicated he would veto it. So it's not that this is going to become law, but it shows us the directions that the Democrats go. Right from day one, more money for baby killing. Now, last night, as this vote was taking place in the House of Representatives, a number of our strong pro-life members, all of whom I know and am very grateful to for their leadership and advocacy on this, took to the floor of the House and made some clear speeches. I want to show you some clips. One is from Representative Virginia Fox. Another one from Representative Andy Harris, who's a medical doctor I've known for a long time, and both of them I've had very many personal interactions with. They're very committed, and you'll hear them speaking about why this abortion funding must not be included in any kind of an appropriations bill. And then you'll hear from our good friend Congressman Chris Smith speaking about an amendment that was offered to the bill but did not pass, an amendment to take out the abortion funding. Let's listen to these three speeches now that were given just yesterday at the House of Representatives.
It is critical that America's foreign policy reflect the values of the American people. A 2017 Mayor's poll clearly revealed that an overwhelming majority of Americans oppose using their hard-earned tax dollars to support abortions in other countries. American taxpayers should not be expected to pay for something they so strongly oppose. The Protecting Life and Global Health Assistance Policy is not anti-global health, nor is it anti-family planning. It does not reduce funding available for international health assistance and leaves the choice up to the individual NGOs of whether or not they wish to be eligible for federal grant money. Abortion should never be considered a necessary part of economic growth, and organizations that believe it should not be the type of organizations that the United States partners with. Abortion is wrong. We do not allow taxpayer money to be spent on abortions within the United States, and we certainly should not fund it in other countries. I urge my colleagues to oppose this bill, and with that, I yield back.
Thank you, and I thank the gentlewoman from Texas for yielding time. You know, Madam Speaker, we're less than 8 hours into this new Congress. We heard a promise from the chair today about transparency, openness, maybe regular order. Yet we have a bill in front of us, one of the most major bills we would consider the entire year, has not gone through the committee process. In fact, it was drawn up behind closed doors with no debate. We have dozens of new members, none of whom are allowed input into this product because it didn't come through the committee or the process. What are some of these changes that are made? Because we had a bill that had come through the process, but there were changes made. One of them the gentlelady from North Carolina talked about. The fact that many, many Americans, the majority of Americans, feel we already spend too much on foreign aid, and yet this bill says we are now going to change our policy from the last few years, and we are now going to spend money to fund abortion programs in foreign countries for the purpose of family planning. Not for medical purposes, for the purposes of family planning. Now, the vast majority of Americans would disagree and say, with a $22 trillion debt, we probably shouldn't be spending money overseas funding abortion for family planning. We may have gotten a chance to debate this in committee, but we didn't. Less than 8 hours into the session, we have a major bill on the floor, no debate, but it goes further than that. It restores funding to the United Nations Population Fund. Now, in committee, we should have had a debate about the United Nations Population Fund and how, in fact, it funds China's coercive forced sterilization and forced abortion policy. Now, is that what the United States is about? Sending money overseas for forced sterilization and forced abortion? That discussion belongs in committee. It doesn't belong, again, added to a bill under the dark of night with no discussion. Goes further. It increases funding for international family planning and encourages targeting areas of the world, quote, where population growth threatens biodiversity and endangered species. It doesn't mention anything about human life or the value of human life here. It talks about every other species in the environment as if they're more important than human life. A very interesting approach to take, but an approach that probably should have been discussed in committee first. And finally, as a physician, it removes the protective language that says that the District of Columbia should not, in fact, promote Jack Kevorkian-style physician-assisted suicide, because, Madam Speaker, if you can't trust your physician to make each and every judgment in your best interest, not the interest of an HMO that can save money or an insurance company can save money or the organization that physician works for that can save money if that person agrees to take a suicide-producing drug prescribed by that physician. If we go down that slippery slope, I don't want to know where we end. Madam Speaker, this bill should have come through the committee process. It should have gone through the debate. I yield back my time.
Madam Speaker, if reopening the government is the goal, if ending the shutdown is the goal, why does this appropriations package contain a brand new poison pill rider, Section 7071, that overturns a major, comprehensive, current-day pro-life policy? Let's be clear. The Protecting Life and Global Health Assistance Policy is eviscerated by this bill. The Protecting Life policy, Madam Speaker, is a significant reiteration and expansion of President Ronald Reagan's Mexico City policy, which was first announced back in 1984. And that policy was and is designed to ensure that U.S. taxpayer money is not funneled to non-foreign, non-governmental organizations that perform or promote abortion as a method of family planning. The policy done by Trump 2 years ago establishes pro-child safeguards that are benign and humane conditions. It's about protection of these innocent children who might otherwise die from chemical poisoning or by dismemberment. For years, pro-abortion organizations have used U.S. taxpayer funds to weaken, undermine, or reverse pro-life laws in other nations and destroy precious lives of these children. The speaker earlier today admonished us to protect God's creation. These unborn children are God's creation that cry out for our protection. U.S. foreign policy and the foreign entities that we fund with billions of dollars of tax money, grant money, this is grant money, should consistently affirm, care for, and tangibly assist women and children, including the unborn child. Let's not forget, no one is expendable or a throwaway. Every human life has infinite value. Birth is merely an event, not the beginning of life of a child. Taxpayers should not be forced to fund the organizations that are promoting abortion overseas. This allows us, and it doesn't reduce global humanitarian aid, global health aid, by so much as a dollar. It just says who we give it to does matter. And if they have an agenda of taking the lives of these precious children, we would give it to someone else. And we do so on a dollar-for-dollar basis. I thank my good friend for yielding, and I hope that everyone will support the Granger motion to recommit.
Well, friends, those are three of our great friends, and they represent many, many others in the House who did speak and many, many others who voted the right way. and our pro-life Republicans in the House of Representatives are doing their job. So I thank Virginia Fox, Andy Harris, Chris Smith, and all of their colleagues who are very strong on this point, which also the American public has spoken about time and time again in polling, that they don't want their hard-earned dollars spent for other people's abortions. Even people who believe that abortion should be an option under the law, which of course it should not, but even those who think that it should, don't want to be the ones to pay for it. And the Supreme Court, although upholding the so-called right to get an abortion, nevertheless has from the beginning also consistently upheld the fact that the state, in permitting abortion, is not required to fund it. Now, the other side wants to constantly say that they should fund it. In fact, they go so far, these pro-abortion radical Democrats, they go so far as to say that it is our duty to fund it. But this is nonsense. So now, as you heard them saying, what's at issue here is our aid to organizations that serve other countries. To formulate this question, and to put it in perspective, we go into another country to help build their schools or to help feed their people or to help, you know, the infrastructure of these countries or whatever other kind of help is being given. Do we really want this to happen, that when the United States goes in to give this humanitarian help to a country, that meanwhile we're saying to them, okay, well, we'll give you this help, but we're going to lobby your Congress and your elected officials to legalize the killing of your children? I mean, is this what we want to export to other countries? Because that's what's at issue here. And as Chris Smith made clear, this is not about taking money away from these programs that are helping these other countries. This is simply saying we don't want the money used for the killing of children. This is so reasonable. And in fact, of 700 different groups that are getting this money and providing help to these other countries, you know how many have been affected by the policy that is currently in place prohibiting the money from going to abortion? Only four. Only four groups are insisting that they don't want to receive the money, and they'll shut down their programs helping people in Africa and other parts of the world. They'll shut down the programs altogether instead of having the money to go away from the abortion industry. Two of those four are Planned Parenthood, surprise, surprise, and another group called Marie Stopes International. It's like a Planned Parenthood also, a big abortion-pushing organization. So we're talking about a handful of, you know, four groups that are saying, oh, we can't do our work because you're not letting us spend the money on abortion. Or rather, that they themselves are not going to back away from pushing or providing abortion. Well, whose fault is this? It's their fault. They want to continue killing babies. Don't rely on us for financial help. Meanwhile, not $1 of the money that would have gone to them is going back into the government. The money is going to other agencies that are helping these countries in ways that don't kill children. So it's not a reduction of the money that's going for the international aid. It's simply a cutting off of the money from the abortion industry. These are the policies President Trump has strongly reiterated and, in fact, has expanded them so that more agencies are covered by this rule that you may not promote abortion, you may not provide abortion. And this is what the American people want. So our Republican pro-life leaders in Congress are stepping up to the plate and speaking up for the voices of the American people. The Democrats, in their love affair with abortion, are continuing to try to push this down our throats. Now, think with me about this for a moment. I just showed you three speeches that were given on the floor of the House of Representatives just yesterday. Not enough people are seeing these speeches. And I think this is what feeds into the attitude that some people have, where they very, very quickly and unfairly jump to the conclusion that our pro-life Republican leaders aren't doing enough. We've got to spread these speeches, like you just heard. They're brief, but they're very clear, they're very passionate, they're backed up by all kinds of facts. Andy Harris is not only a congressman, he's a medical doctor. And he's speaking from his professional experience. We need more people to hear these speeches. So what we're going to do, and I'm working with my pro-life colleagues on this in the leadership of our movement, is make sure that we disseminate these speeches more far and wide. I just showed you three of them now. Share this video. Let more people see what is happening here. And not only that, but I'm going to be sending out an action alert later today. Now, I want to make sure you receive it, if you wish. And if you go to stopabortionnow.org, stopabortionnow.org, that's where you can sign up to receive these action alerts. Because in the action alert, we're going to ask you to thank these representatives and communicate with your own representative and say, listen, from today forward, any kind of bill that you're voting on, we do not want abortion funding. We do not want anything to do with promoting abortion. So I'm going to send out that action alert today, and it'll also talk about the project we're engaged in now of showing these members of Congress what an abortion actually is by sending them the medical diagrams. Especially these Democrats need to see that. But we all need to see it because it strengthens us who are pro-life in our resolve to advance this cause. Now, let me just talk in a brief way here about Roe v. Wade. We are coming close to the anniversary. January the 22nd is the day when in 1973, the Supreme Court issued two decisions about abortion, Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton. And I just want to focus with you today on, I'm going to be talking a lot about this in the days to come as we come closer to the March for Life, which is 2 weeks from today. We need to be more educated. I mean, we hear the phrase Roe versus Wade, but what really is this decision all about? And one of the ideas to frame our understanding of this is the word exclusion. Roe versus Wade is a decision that excludes people from protection. A key phrase in that decision is does not include, and the full sentence I'm thinking of from the decision says that the word person, as used in the 14th Amendment, does not include the unborn. Now, the 14th Amendment, as you may recall, is the amendment that says that no person may be deprived of life without due process of law. It would seem that abortion directly contradicts the 14th Amendment. As a matter of fact, in the arguments in the Roe v. Wade case, it was admitted that if, in fact, the unborn child is a person, well, then the case of the abortion supporters collapses. Because the Constitution already says no person may be deprived of life without due process of law. So the assertion in Roe v. Wade that makes it possible to abort the unborn child is that the word person does not include the unborn. Now, the history of American constitutional law is one of inclusion. In other words, as time goes on, as we mature in our system of law and as a nation, we gain more and more experience, and hopefully as the years and the decades and the centuries go on, more and more wisdom, you trace the trajectory of constitutional law in our country, and it is more and more inclusive. Think, for example, about, well, the whole problem of slavery and segregation. What trajectory did we take? At first, we were excluding people from the equal protection of the law, and then more and more we included them. Women's rights, what has happened in this country? More inclusion or more exclusion? We've been on a trajectory of inclusion. Workers' rights, children's rights, all the big constitutional battles that have gone on over the years, over the decades, how have they been resolved? They've been resolved in favor of inclusion. The March for Life and the various walks, rallies, marches that will occur, especially over these next 3 weeks, are Americans standing up and saying we must include the unborn. This is the movement, not like the Democrats and others would like to paint us as judgmental and narrow-minded, bigoted people, all this kind of nonsense. No, we are the people who are saying, let's open our arms wider to include in the protection of the law more people. Let's include those who right now are being excluded by a decision like Roe versus Wade, which says that the word person does not include the unborn. We're standing up and we're saying the opposite. It does include the unborn. Remember what Martin Luther King Jr. said when the big march on Washington took place, at which he gave his I Have a Dream speech? And he said, we have come to cash a check. The black Americans coming to Washington to say, listen, we have a check that was given to us by our founders saying that we have the equal right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And we've come to cash a check, and unfortunately we're being told that the check is returned to us stamped insufficient funds. Not enough funds in the banks of equality and justice in America to include our black brothers and sisters. And Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement stood up and said, no, you will not exclude us. And we do not believe that America is unable to include us. America is able to include all its people because that's what its founding documents say it must do. We're saying exactly the same thing. We're going to march on Washington 2 weeks from now to demand payment of a check. We don't want it coming back saying insufficient funds for the unborn, insufficient protection, insufficient recognition. You are not included as persons in this country. No. We're going to come and demand that they be included. Who doesn't want to be part of a movement that says, let's open our arms wider and embrace more people and protect more people? The unborn are persons. And that's what we're going to insist that our laws and policies recognize. Well, friends, we'll be back with a lot more reflections during these days about Roe v. Wade, about what we can do to stop it. I love the comments that are coming in, people telling me that they will write to Congress. If contacted, we will be contacting you. We will be sending you our action alert. And people talking about how unfair the Democrats are showing themselves to be. Absolutely unfair, unreasonable, un-American. Let's let them know it. So thank you, friends. May the Lord bless you today and all your intentions and all your loved ones. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.